Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. It is wonderful to see you all this morning. And this is the morning after. We had the Eureka Day parade yesterday, and it was we remembered our baptisms. It was very wet, yes. And the kids absolutely were having the greatest time in the world, so it was like, you know, who cares? We're wet, we'll dry off eventually. But it was a wonderful, wonderful parade. The school had a really good showing, so it was a good thing. Let's begin our worship service here. And this opportunity to come before our God and worship and to receive from him and return praise to him for what he has done is so amazing and so such a blessing for us. And so let us begin remembering the day we became his children. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day. We thank you. We thank you that you have that you receive us into your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you suffered and died so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have this relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that because we have been adopted through baptism into your family, Lord, we can speak to you like this and that you have promised to hear us. Lord, we pray that you would be among us this morning as you have also promised. Send your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and minds that we may receive and hold on to the truth, Lord, of your word that we will hear today. Thank you, Lord, for all of this and inhabit our praises. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sins. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sin. I have lived as if you did not matter and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us return praise and thanksgiving to the God who has so graciously forgiven us.
Come and let your glory come and let your glory. some history on All Creatures of Our God and King. William Henry Draper was an English hymn writer and clergyman who composed about 60 hymns. Born December 19, 1855, in Kenilworth, Warwickshire, he was rector of a Church of England parish church at Adel near Leeds. He died August 9, 1933, in Clifton, Bristol. He is most famous for translating All Creatures of Our God and King. This translation of Canticle of the Sun, a poem written by Francis of Assisi in 1225. Francis of Assisi was born in Italy. He was known in his ministry as Francesco. He was an Italian Catholic friar, deacon, mystic, and preacher. He founded the Men's Order of Friars Minor, the Women's Order of St. Clair, the Third Order of St. Francis, and the Custody of the Holy Land. Francis is one of the most venerated religious figures in Christianity.
Of our God and Good morning. I'm Kevin Schig, one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from Psalm 128, verses 1 through 6. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Kevin. And now it is time for the children's message. And Mrs. Sherry Haas has the message for us this morning. So kids, come on forward. And I know you're here.
Good, there's kids. I'm so happy. When I first came in, I was worried there weren't any kids here today. How are you guys doing? I know, you guys are always here, so I knew that. So listen, today what we're going to talk about is families. I know you guys all have families. And everybody's families are different, aren't they? Like, some of you have brothers and sisters, some of you don't.
This is my sister.
I know she is. That's awesome. I know you love her. And you have moms and dads.
And we have stuffed animals.
And stuffed animals, and grandmas, and grandpas, and aunts and uncles. And so anyway, I want to show you some pictures of my family, okay? Because we're going to talk about families. So, aunts and uncles are awesome too. Okay, so look at this. This is me, and this is my husband. He's sitting back there. There he is. And so, here's another one. This is one of my daughters. Does anybody know who this is? Who is this? Do you know who that is, Oscar? Mrs. Langley. She's sitting back there, too, and Mr. Langley. And Mrs. Langley's a teacher here at St. Mark's, isn't she? And Mr. Langley is a police officer. Yep, that's right. And this is another daughter. See, this one, she's got lots of kids. These are my grandkids. See, I got a whole bunch of them. I got six of them. Isn't that awesome? Here's one more picture with all of them. Do you guys like to do selfies? Here's another one. So anyway, the reason I'm showing you my family is because God gives us families to take care of us and to love us, and they are a gift to us. And sometimes I know everything's not perfect in your family. You guys might argue or not listen to your moms, but families are super important. So let me tell you a verse that Pastor Bob is going to talk about today. It is from Hebrews, and it says, "So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters." So you know what? If God is our Father and we're brothers and sisters, that makes us a really, really big family. Do you guys see this? Do you know what this is? I'm going to show you. This is from St. Mark's, and it is full of people. See all of these different people?
That's your album.
This is an album of all of our family. These people are all these people. These are all your family. Because if God is our Father, we're all sisters and brothers, right? And so all of these pictures of these people are people that belong to our church. They're all sitting out here, and all these people care about you guys and they love you guys because God gave us to each other, because God is our Father and we're all brothers and sisters, and that is a gift. So we all love each other, and we can all pray for each other, and we can all treat each other kind. You probably, if you looked at this, you would probably know a lot of these people. These are some old pictures, but these are pretty awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that is. That's exactly right. So anyway, would you guys fold your hands, and we're going to say a prayer and thank God for our families. Dear Lord, I thank you for bringing us here to church today. I thank you for our families that you've given us that are such a gift to us that we love so much. But I thank you even more for being our Father and for giving us Jesus and for giving us all of our friends in our church, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right. Thank you so much, Sherry. And looks like the kids are already out the door. Very good. So I don't have to tell them where they're going. They got that figured out. And all right, the rest of you guys, let us open up our Bibles today, or you can look at the screens, I suppose. And the scripture reading for this for our sermon today is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such great a salvation? This salvation, which was announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of this Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them, a son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor. You put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. So that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it is fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should be made the pioneer of their salvation, perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Well, what I have discovered about myself in life, this comes right up with the philosophy that I hold very clearly. No pain, good. The army had a different version, but you know, it didn't stick. I like to drift. Drifting is nice. Drifting is comfortable. Have you ever drifted? I highly recommend it. It's really, really great. At Six Flags in Hurricane Harbor, there's this ride which is very not aptly called something like the Gully Washer Creek or something like that, which is kind of an exciting sounding name, and it's a lie. It's the most laid back ride there possibly could be. Here's what you do. You take an inner tube and you sit in it. That's it. That's all there is to it. The water just takes you in this circuit, and it's the most laid back and relaxing thing you could do. All right? The reason I think I like this whole idea of just drifting is because it doesn't take any work at all. You just go with the flow. And the trouble with drifting, though, is that when you go with the flow, you kind of have to be able to trust where the flow is taking you, right? Because another place where I like to drift is out in the ocean. You know, we go to the beach and you sit there on some kind of a floating device or raft and you just kind of like lay out there, except that you guys know what the dangers are there, right? The riptide. Where all of a sudden you lay down and you close your eyes and 10, 15 minutes later you open them and all of a sudden you realize that something's wrong. I'm nowhere near shore anymore. And the thing is that I always used to think it was, I love machines. It's nothing new. And so when I go to the beach, what I notice is that somebody has a jet ski on the beach. And I'm like, that is the coolest thing. But I can't figure out who on earth would rent a jet ski for the day and just leave it sitting on the sand all day. Well, then I realized why the jet ski was there. The jet ski was there not as a toy, but as a tool, and it was a tool for the lifeguards, because if somebody drifts too long and gets too far out, how in the world are you going to rescue them? I mean, it's not like you can swim out to them. The rip current is still taking them farther. And then if you do get them, then what do? Now you're in as much trouble as they are, right? But instead, they have this amazing, powerful tool that they can fire up, and then they idle out past the swimmers, and then they open that thing up, and it just skips across the waves. And before, in a couple of minutes, they're where that person is. They can pull them up on the jet ski, and a few minutes later, they're back at shore, and they can make sure that the person has enough water, and they can take care of them if they have any medical problems. That amazing, powerful tool makes it so that the person who drifted too far can be pulled back. In the first sentence here it says, we must be careful, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Thing is, in life, we like to relax. I mean, there's so many times that people, in fact, one of the biggest excuses I hear for people not coming to church on Sunday is because they've worked so hard all week, and on Sunday they want to relax. They want to sleep. They want to recharge. They want to do whatever they need to do so that on Monday morning they're ready to go back to work. The trouble is, if we recharge by sleeping, if we recharge by doing nothing, we drift. And the way it works in the world, I mean, on the beach, you can tell when you're drifting, right? I mean, you can tell because when you open your eyes, you realize there's a reference point that you are too far away from. There, I mean, there's that shore, that terra firma, that place that I suddenly very badly want to be that I can't get to anymore, but I know I'm in trouble because it is far away. And suddenly you know this is a real problem. The problem with drifting in the spiritual sense is that it's not something that we notice when we're doing it. The thing is that when we're attached to God's word, and when we're hanging around other Christians, and when we have a bunch of people, we have God's word, we have the Holy Spirit working in us through that word, and he's constantly reminding us about who we are and the forgiveness that we have, and that we belong to Christ, and that we are his people and called by his purpose and given his strength, and that we are truly, our identity, who we are, is in him. And we know this, and we can know that we're in the right place because we're firmly attached and we have our reference point clearly in mind. But if we allow ourselves to drift, and all you have to do to drift is do nothing. Just do nothing. And you will begin to drift. And the drifting happens when all the messages of the world begin to, erode and permeate you. And pretty soon you're seeing things differently than you were before. I mean, when we study scripture, when we look at God's word, it's so clear what God's greatest priority is, and that is getting people into his kingdom and elevating the work of Christ and having God, Jesus's work on the cross just shine so that we will remember who we are, but then also the people around us are also going to see who we are and what Jesus has done for us so that they also can be saved. And that what Jesus' greatest goal is for us and for himself and for this world and for everybody who is in this world is that they would be made perfect through his blood. That it would be all about him, that all our attention would be on Jesus, that he would be our touchstone, that he would be the one who, more than the one that we cling to, but the one who clings to us and holds us because he loves us that much. But instead, the world gets us to think about, and here's the secret, anything else. anything else. God does, the devil does not need to make you into a devil worshiper. He does not need to make you, make great, enormous, terrible, sinful acts to get you to lose your faith or to start to drift away from God. All he has to do is get you to think about anything else, to get your eyes off of Christ, out of his word, not seeing him, not seeing who he has made you, not seeing what he has done for you, who he is, what he has, all that. Instead of looking at God, we would look at career. We would look at sports, family, TV. We could even look at some very, very noble causes like environmentalism, saving the planet. We could look at anything else. And all of a sudden, the attention, the focus, the reference point that should be God, that should be Christ, that should be our salvation and what Jesus has done for us becomes something else. And the dangerous thing about this is that we feel good about it. We don't feel like we're doing anything wrong. We feel like what we're paying attention to is good. It's right. This is an important thing to do. And is it good, right, and important? Well, it very well might be, but it does not deserve. It is unworthy to be your reference point. It's not God. We were created to worship God. He is the center of our life, the center of our minds, the thing to which we cling, this thing that tells us how everything else in our life should go. He is the one who is at the very focused center of our existence. And when we drift, we know we will drift because that will no longer be true. And so when we drift, how is it that God comes and rescues us? Well, he's got several tools at his disposal. He's got his Holy Spirit and the Word of God that he has poured into you through time, right? And the Spirit, I always say, be careful what you pray for, you know? And I say that in jest because I want you to pray for this. It's just, I just want you to be prepared that he'll actually do it. When you pray to God and say, Lord, show me my sins, he's going to do that. He's probably going to do it anyway, but it works better if you're actually paying attention, right? If you're focusing on it. And what happens is the Spirit comes into our hearts and he uses God's perfect law, that beautiful, perfect image of what our lives should be. And he helps us to compare ourselves to that perfect image. And we start to see our sin. And it doesn't take very long because there's a lot of them. And then we start looking at the sin and we realize that it's not just the sin on the surface. You know, it's not just that I don't treat people well, but it's also that I don't treat people well because I think I'm better than they are. You know what I'm saying? And then it's not just that I think I'm better than they are, but that I'm, you know, obviously they're just really stupid. You know, and then we start realizing that our sin just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And then we say, who will save me from this body of death? Who's going to help me? How on earth could anybody save me? I am such a mess. And what's the answer? Yeah. Jesus. What the Spirit does is he takes us back into the Word and he shows us our sin, which then, of course, because the Spirit is also showing us in his Word how God rescues us from sin, how our sin has been removed by Christ on the cross, how, as in the words of today's text, he tasted sin for us so that we will never have to. That he suffered hell on the cross so that we will never have to suffer hell. Our God is the great shepherd, the one who looks after the sheep, the one who, when the sheep wanders away, the God of all creation loves you enough that he will come and look for you. I mean, just think about that. The God of all creation, the one who's created everything, the galaxies far, far away that we haven't even been able to see yet because we don't have telescopes powerful enough to see them. He not only created them, he holds them together. He knows every single star, every single grain of sand, and he knows you and he loves you enough to give you his attention. Isn't that crazy to think about? And that God died for you. And that God wants to be the center of your life. He wants to be in the proper place in your life, not because it's some kind of power trip for him, but because it's what we need. That we would know him, know ourselves in light of him, be able to organize our understanding of the world according to him, that we would have his lens, see the world with his eyes. It changes nothing and it changes everything. The people around us are exactly the same people, right? But now instead of us seeing them as either good or bad on the basis of how they make us feel, we know that they are precious because of how God sees them. And we're going to treat them differently, even if they're annoying, because we know that's what God wants. Because that's how God sees them. You know, we see disasters in the world, and some people see the disaster in the world, and they try to use that as evidence that God doesn't exist. But that's not the way God wants us to see the disasters of the world. The way God wants us to see the disasters of the world is opportunities for us to be his hands and feet. That we would be able to, because of what Jesus has done for us, because how he has dealt with our sin, we would then be motivated to fight the effects of sin in the world and bring mercy to the people who need mercy. It's an amazing thing when we stay connected to the touchstone, when we stay connected to the one who is our anchor, the one who keeps us from drifting, the one. And you know, Bible study attendance is getting better. And I can't even tell you how happy that makes me, because the more people in Bible study, the more people who are, you know, growing in their faith, the more people who are going to be better prepared, have more of God's word in their hearts and in their minds, be growing together as a body. But I just want to keep encouraging. And I only encourage, I don't encourage to make you feel guilty. I only encourage because this is what we need, what we desperately need, so that we don't drift. Because otherwise, the world just continues to distract and guide us away. And so as we move on this week, I just want to encourage you to be challenging yourself, committing yourself to being where God's grace is. You know, God says he will send his spirit and work through his word. Let's be there in his word so that the Spirit of God can do all that he wants to do in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for loving us so much that you did die on the cross to take our sin, and that you make it possible for us to be your children. Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide us into an ever closer relationship with you. Turn our hearts and our minds. Give us new hearts, new minds that are able to see your will, see the opportunities you put in front of us, Lord, so that we can serve you in all our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your great mercy. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let us then continue our worship.
I want to love like you, for you are marvelous in all.
Let us stand as we confess the faith that our God has revealed to us in Scripture using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you. First of all, we thank you that you've made us your family, that you call us your brothers and sisters, that you have redeemed us, adopted us, and that on the last day, we look forward to the time that we get to spend in your presence, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would continue to encourage us today. Help us to do the work that you have left for us to do, Lord. I pray for all those who are doing ministry throughout this world. There are so many people who are working and sacrificing and struggling to do your work in this world. I pray that you would help us to encourage them, help us to enable them and empower them and to do all we can, Lord, to make their burden lighter. Lord, I pray that you would be with all of the people in our congregation who are doing ministry, Lord, and there's so many doing different things, so many carrying burdens in different ways. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless them and encourage them, give them wisdom, give them words, give them passion, Lord, so that they can continue to do the work that you have for them. I pray for those who are serving in our school, the teachers, and Mr. Denning, and the all the aides and the teachers in the EC, I pray that you would continue to be with all of them as they continue to do ministry in difficult times with all the COVID restrictions and cares and concerns. Pray that you'd be with the families that we're reaching, Lord, both in church and school, that you would help us, Lord, to draw them in, to help you, to help them to see you, Lord, to help us to show them your love. And Lord, I pray for those who are struggling in our congregation, those who have lost loved ones, those who are sick, those who are worried, those who are scared, those who are boldly, Lord, continuing to do anything that whatever that is that you've called them to do. Lord, in all the circumstances and all the burdens, Lord, I pray that you would be our rock, that you would be the one that we would look to for strength, that you would be the one that we would look to for meaning and purpose and direction and focus and motivation and passion, Lord, that you would be the one, always the one we look to, the one we lean on, and the one we look forward to. Lord, I pray that you would give us strength. All these things, Lord, we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Having received this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which by the power of God and the promise of Jesus himself offers us forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, in confidence in his promise, depart in his peace to serve him in joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
This is the time for
Have a seat. As I mentioned last week, I promised last week that the TJ's pizza sale was going to begin, and it has. So now there are order forms in the back of the church, on the center round table in the lobby out back. So if you like all that Provel cheese stuff, you're going to love this stuff. I don't know. I'm from Chicago. I can't do it either. Anyway, let's see here. And then there's also poinsettias. As we said last week, we have to get our poinsettia orders in ridiculously early or we won't have any because the supply is once again limited. So if you guys could get your orders in right away, I believe the deadline is really early, so don't put it off. Get right on it. And I think that's all I've got for you. I told you about the parade. It was a great time. The children absolutely loved it. You know, what we find out is when the kids give out candy, they give out candy the way they would want it given to them. So in that parade, we gave away, what, 4,000 pieces? 8,000 pieces of candy. And we were running pretty low by the end. It was amazing. The kids were, it was hilarious. It was so much fun. So praise God for our school. Praise God for our children and their amazing generosity. So blessings. I'll see you in the back, folks.